Well, howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 10, day 4 of our study of the book of Exodus. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're looking at Exodus chapter 40. Well, welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. I am your host, Darren Hibbs, and we're on Exodus 40. I mean, this is the last chapter of the book. I can't believe we've already made it to this point. Every time when we go through one of these books in 10 weeks, I'm always amazed when we get to the last day of it. And Exodus 40 is a beautiful chapter leading on to what's coming next. But before we jump into it, let's pray before we start today. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Speak to us. Come and touch our hearts. Fill us with the knowledge of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Exodus 40, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Set up the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, on the first day of the first month. Place the Ark of the Covenant law in it and shield the Ark with the curtain. Bring in the table and set out what belongs on it. Then bring in the lampstand and set up the lamps. Place the gold altar of incense in front of the Ark of the Covenant law and put the curtain at the entrance to the tabernacle. Place the altar of burnt offering in front of the entrance to the tabernacle, the tent of meeting. Place the basin between the tent of meeting and the altar and put water in it. Set up the courtyard around it and put the curtain at the entrance to the courtyard. Take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and everything in it. Consecrate it and all its furnishings, and it will be holy. Then anoint the altar of burnt offering and all its utensils. Consecrate the altar, and it will be most holy. Anoint the basin and its stand and consecrate them. Bring Aaron and his sons to the entrance to the tent of meeting and wash them with water. Then dress Aaron in the sacred garments, anoint him, and consecrate him so that he may serve me as priest. Bring his sons and dress them in tunics. Anoint them just as you anointed their father, so that they may serve me as priests. Their anointing will be to a priesthood that will continue throughout their generations." Moses did everything just as the Lord commanded him. This is a thing that's been repeated over and over throughout the book of Exodus. Moses did as the Lord was commanded. They did just as the Lord commanded. Over and over again, we see this, and we're meant to understand the level of obedience that Moses took to walk into the things that the Lord had laid out for them. This was very, very important. The Lord wanted them to follow this to the letter, I mean, to the T, and Moses, Joshua, whoever else had their hands in compiling these books, wanted us to understand that Moses did exactly as the Lord commanded him to. Obedience in this case was of critical importance because the Lord was fashioning something here that was a model of what's going on in eternity. And again, I mentioned this before, but here we see that Aaron and the priesthood are almost one and the same with all of the furnishings. The tabernacle and the altar, all these things, they were consecrated, they were anointed so that they would be holy, and the priests were as well. They were consecrated, they were anointed so that they would be holy. They are one and the same. You can't separate the tabernacle from the priests or the priest from the tabernacle. They're one and the same. They're all part of this same system that's being established here. And I think that's of critical importance to us today because none of this exists anymore. When Jesus came, this tabernacle and temple worship came to an end. And now he is our mediator. The veil was torn in front of the Holy of Holies. And now we have access directly to God because of the shed blood of Jesus. And we are, the New Testament says this very clearly, we are a kingdom of priests before God. We are that righteous priesthood now, and we're consecrated. We are part of this, temple worship with the Lord for all eternity. That's a powerful statement. It's a powerful reality. All right, verse 17. So the tabernacle was set up on the first day of the first month in the second year. When Moses set up the tabernacle, he put the bases in place, erected the frames, inserted the crossbars, and set up the posts. Then he spread the tent over the tabernacle and the covering over the tent, as the Lord commanded him. He took the tablets of the covenant law and placed them in the ark, attached the poles to the ark, and put the atonement cover over it. Then he brought the ark into the tabernacle and hung the shielding curtain and shielded the ark of the covenant law, as the Lord commanded him. Moses placed the table in the tent of the meeting on the north side of the tabernacle outside the curtain and set out the bread on it for the Lord, as the Lord commanded him. He placed the lampstand in the tent of meeting opposite the table on the south side of the tabernacle, and he set up the lamps before the Lord, as the Lord commanded him. Moses placed the gold altar in the tent of meeting in front of the curtain and burned fragrant incense on it, as the Lord commanded him. Then he put up the curtain at the entrance to the tabernacle. He set the altar of burnt offering near the entrance to the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, and offered it on it burnt offerings and grain offerings, as the Lord commanded him. He placed the basin between the tent of meeting and the altar and put water on it for washing. And Moses and Aaron and his sons used it to wash their hands and feet. They washed whenever they entered the tent of meeting or approached the altar, as the Lord commanded Moses. Then Moses set up the courtyard around the tabernacle and altar and put up the curtain at the entrance to the courtyard. And so Moses finished the work. So we see here, we're a couple of years out now from them leaving Egypt. They've been out of Egypt for 2 years, kind of wandering around northwestern, what we call Saudi Arabia now, and they're done. They put all of this together. And again, I'm just so fascinated by it over and over again. And the Lord did exactly as Moses said, and Moses did exactly as the Lord said, and he did what the Lord said. Over and over again. It's making this point that Moses did what the Lord commanded him to do. He walked in obedience in regards to this tabernacle, in regards to the commands the Lord gave for this. In the grand scheme of things, how you set up the tabernacle, this tent and all of this stuff, it seems relatively insignificant, but this is so important to the Lord because there is a pattern of worship going on here that the Lord wants us to understand, the Lord wants us to take to heart. So this is very powerful and it's very important to the Lord. And now let's read what happened after Moses walked out all of this in obedience. Verse 34. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. This is exactly what happened when Solomon consecrated the temple. When the tabernacle was consecrated and when the temple was consecrated, the glory, the Shekinah presence, the glory cloud of the Lord, it rested on this place. And actually nothing could be done. Moses and the priests couldn't go in and offer the sacrifices. They couldn't do anything because the glory of the Lord settled in this place. And the same thing happened in the temple. When the cloud rested on it, they couldn't even see. It was so thick. And the priests couldn't continue their service. The Lord, his manifest presence, what's often referred to in Hebrew as the Shekinah glory, it came and it rested in this place to signify, yes, this is good. This is where I will meet with you. And this is really important because at this time, the Lord was meeting with them in this place. Now we know that the Lord meets with us where we are. The veil was torn. We're allowed to go in. You know, hypothetically go in. There's not even any more temple now, but we're allowed to enter his presence by coming before him in prayer. That's all we have to do. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us now. We have that same power, that same presence living in us today if we accept Jesus as our Savior. Let's finish the chapter. Let's finish the book. Verse 36. In all the travels of the Israelites, whenever the cloud lifted from above the tabernacle, they would set out. But if the cloud did not lift, they did not set out until the day it lifted. So the cloud of the Lord was over the tabernacle by day, and fire was in the cloud by night, in the sight of all the Israelites during all their travels. So for the next, presumably 40 years, there's a miracle going on every single day, and it's connected to this tabernacle that Moses has built. The same cloud and fire that led them out of Egypt has been with them the whole time. And they're seeing this glory cloud of God rest on the tabernacle. And as long as it's there, they stay put. Then when they see it leave, they follow it. They pack everything up and they follow the cloud. I mean, they're following a cloud. Think about how strange that would seem to us. And it became normal to them, seeing the manifest, tangible presence of God. Became normal to the Israelites. Think about what that would mean to us today. During the day, there's this cloud resting over the tabernacle. At night, there's a cloud, but it's illuminated by fire. Imagine that. Imagine that being a normal sight. Imagine someone coming up, some visitor coming up. Hey, who are you guys wandering around in the desert? Oh, we're the Hebrews, you know. Oh, well, what the heck is that? Oh, that's the glory cloud of God. You know, at night it's illuminated by fire. Say, what? What do you mean the glory cloud of God? Well, our God, he comes and he inhabits this place, the tabernacle, and you know, his manifest presence in this cloud, you know, it's there and it burns at night, and during the day it's there. And I mean, imagine a visitor coming up that worships one of these pantheon of made up false gods, these idols, coming up and seeing the tangible presence of God. It must have been an awe-inspiring sight for newcomers. But again, it became normal for the Israelites. I pray that in our lives, the manifest tangible presence of God, because of the Holy Spirit indwelling us, can become normal to us. I pray that that can be our experience, and you can have that experience. You can have that experience where the manifest tangible presence of the Lord is within you because you've accepted Jesus and the Holy Spirit indwells you. If you've never made that decision before, here on our last day of the study of the book of Exodus, I encourage you to pray this prayer with me and invite Jesus into your heart so that you can have that tangible presence with you. Would you pray with me right now? Jesus, I want you to come and dwell with me. Would you forgive me of my sins? Jesus, I am a sinner. And I need you to forgive me of my sins. Would you forgive me of my sins and save me, Jesus? I want to spend eternity with you. Would you come and would you save me, that I would know you? I want to follow you. Jesus, I pledge my allegiance to you. And will you fill me with your Holy Spirit and indwell me forever? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer for the first time, I want you to get in contact with me. You can reach out to me at Twitter at Darren Hibbs, or you can send an email to me at DarrenHibbs.com. The links to contacts is in the description, but it's me at DarrenHibbs.com or at Darren Hibbs on Twitter. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to help you walk through what the next steps look like for you if you prayed that for the first time, or if you'd like to recommit your life to Jesus and have the Holy Spirit indwell you, I would love to get in contact with you and help you with the next steps wherever you are geographically. there is a group of people, there's a body of believers that can help you grow and continue to grow in your walk with Jesus. I'm excited and sad all at the same time that we've come to the end of the book of Exodus. But for those of you that are following along, we're going to be jumping into Daniel in just a few weeks. So for the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I really can't wait to see you next time.